couple things in this. It's right before the Holy Week. But there's some things in here that I wanted to preach, and there's one big thing that really is pressing out on me tonight, and hopefully it'll translate. I believe it's a very big point for especially a Wednesday night group. And what I say by that is, if you're on Wednesday night group, and it ain't a fact, but one, you should be a more mature, desiring to grow in your relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're looking more about who God is. And sometimes in the messages, it's not as focused on salvation as much as your growth in your relationship to God. And there's going to be one big point in there tonight that I see that, man, it really challenges me. But while we're in the neighborhood, there's one part of the message I just absolutely love. And I'll preach it until, one, I can't preach anymore. If God ever gives me the opportunity and I'm in that neighborhood and I'm reading and God presses that Holy Spirit out and I want to preach it, I'm going to preach it. I don't care if everybody does. I love it. I love it. So John chapter 12, y'all just get in there. Then 6 days, do y'all see that? Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover. 6 days before the Passover. Do y'all understand the idea of the Passover? 6 days. You know what this Passover is, don't you? This Passover right here is going to be when Jesus Christ becomes the Passover. The very first Passover was a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. Amen? A lamb without spot, without blemish. The blood was put upon the post of the doors. The lamb was brought into the house. It was taken care of. Then it was slaughtered. Not a bone of it was broken. All these different things are a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. When it was slaughtered, it was taken outside the home. It was taken outside the city. Every time the Passover was done that way, it was eaten quickly. There was no leaven in the bread. There was no everything. Everything that's in the Passover is Jesus. Amen. And it's a clear type and shadow. It's really just a flat out comparison. So, and the Holy Week that Jesus was on is the same Holy Week where he passes away as the Passover lamb. So, man, that's just exciting. So 6 days, I don't know about you. I don't know. I know Jesus is 100% God and he's 100% man. So if I am 6 days from the worst execution in my life, if you're 6 days from being executed, it's on your mind. If you're 6 days from the worst, I mean, one of the worst physical tortures you're ever going to ever even hear of, it's going to be on your mind. Amen? And when that's on your mind, what needs to happen is somebody needs to come along and, one, show you love, to encourage you, to worship, and to recognize who you are. And that's kind of what's going on right here in this chapter 12. We're going to get into all of it and see it. And I excuse me about my voice. It's been this way since I left for Arkansas, and it's kind of getting straightened out. But, you know, every time I get up here, it seems like it's kind of weird. The Passover came to Bethany where Lazarus, let me go back and read that whole thing. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Never mind, I thought that's pretty cool. If you're really getting that, I mean, Jesus is at the house of a man who was dead, and he raised him from the dead, and he's going to visit the man. That's good, amen? That's just good stuff. He was dead, and now he's visiting him, and I want you to get this verse, too. And this is the big point for tonight, and hopefully you can just tolerate the rest of the preaching after this. There they made him a supper. And Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. There they made a supper, and Martha served. I want to show you something. I know y'all heard this. You read this. It's not a new concept. But take your Bibles. Go to Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. I'm not sure 100% on the time frame, but I'm going to go out and say this is probably a year or two prior to the crucifixion, prior to this 6 days before. This is a period of time where they met and they know each other. And watch this right here, Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass. Are y'all seeing this? Everybody looking at it? Look at it with me. Now it came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Do y'all see that? And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Boy, God, we could preach and preach and preach right here. I want to. But listen, verse 41, we don't have to do all the preaching right here. Jesus does it for us. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. Golly, you might want to underline both times. Okay? Martha, Martha. What's he doing right there? He's letting her know, listen here. Listen to me. You, not Mary. Not Mary. Golly, I hope y'all get this. They are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Y'all good? Let's go back over. Go back over to 12. 12:2. John chapter 12, verse 2. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with an odor of the ointment. Some of y'all are sitting there going, wait a minute, you forgot the big point, Kevin. You moved past two. I want you to go like this right here. 3 years or less, the same actors are in the same room doing the same stuff. Martha's serving. Lazarus is eating and fellowshipping with Jesus. And Mary is worshiping. But the difference is Martha has learned. Martha has learned. I want you to get this. You might want to title this whole message, Martha Has Learned. She took a big character issue, and in 3 short years, in one word from God, changed. Golly. Listen, guys, we can go home right now. We can go. How many of us have heard more than one word in areas and issues of character for us and had multiple years and we never change? Man, that there, when I was reading that, I love where we're at in the Bible. I love the Holy Week, but I'm sitting there going, you go, girl. I know that's weird to say, but I'm sitting there going, my gosh. Martha just said, you know what? I've got a character issue. God exposed it, and it was hard for me to deal with. I'm going to be honest with you. You go back to that and read that. If you don't think, Martha, that was a place of struggle right there, when he stops her and says, Martha, Martha, in front of everybody, while she was the only one serving. And corrected her. But you know what? Golly, man, I love this. You know what Martha did with it? She didn't get mad. She didn't quit. She didn't rail on Mary and Lazarus and Jesus. She changed. She just said, you know what? Jesus is right. And I'm wrong. Imagine that. I've got a character issue. I can't see everybody else's deal, what they're supposed to be doing. I think they should be doing what I want them to be doing. God, I hope y'all get this. If God's not upset with what they're doing, and I'm just upset with what they're doing, maybe we should figure it out. Maybe we should go, wait a minute, God seems like he's okay with Mary being there, and he's okay with Lazarus being there. And so for some crazy reason, I hope y'all get this. I hope this sinks in. For some reason, God doesn't mind me running around like a chicken with my head cut off. Amen? Because I know some of us. I know. Sometimes you can get in a situation, you look around like, oh, there's a worshiper over there. Well, they can praise God. Man, where are they? Well, you know, put the chairs up. Put the couch. Cook the meal. Hand the plates up. What, you know what I'm saying? Where were they at then? Is God mad at them? Or is it just you? Amen? Look at Lazarus up there. Goodness gracious. He could at least, I mean, I'm his sister. He could at least just hand me a bowl or something. I mean, man, he's so enthralled with Jesus. They're so good of buddies. Here I am, man. Has anybody noticed I'm sweating? Has anybody noticed that I'm at my wit's end? But if you really ask her, if you ever really ask her, do you like doing this? Have you ever met somebody who likes doing that stuff? They just get a little frustrated when they're doing it. Praise God. Yeah, all you need is a heart and head change. All you need is your heart and mind to change. Say, you know what? If you're doing it for God, do it for God, whether everybody shows up or nobody shows up. Just do it for Jesus. And be happy with everybody else. And praise God, if God knows it and God understands it, He'll either send you or help, give you strength to do it, give you a lesson to learn in it. Praise God. But guess what? Change. Change. And if you think this is easy for me to preach and tell you this stuff, man, I am a preacher. Preachers don't get just to tell you what to do. Preachers should be letting it change them and they're also telling you how it works. This is tough stuff. There, I can almost tell you almost every time in a message where God has plowed me under with something that's a character issue that I need to change, and God says, there it is again, Kevin. There you go. Change. Okay, I'll change. That's good. That's right. I mean, I can go to a meeting 100 miles away with a dude that don't even know who I am, sit in the seat, guy open the book, preach me to a T, me crawl up on the altar and say, you nailed me again. The very next week, here comes that same issue. Whew, what do I do? Now, I'm not a... So I gotta, this right here helps me. If Martha can do it, we can do it. And I tell you right now, He will set you right in the very same room. He will set you right in the same test. I've said this a million times. God will give you the... He is not an easy teacher. I mean, you'll think, man, I got out of that, failed miserably, but at least I ain't got to take it again. Next week, sitting in the same little one-armed bandit chair, clock on the wall, paper slid across the test. You got exactly 2 days to finish this test, and we'll come back and grade you at the end of it. I hope you got all that little analogy I just tied in right there. I hated tests. I hated them because I usually was never prepared for them. He gave her, this is the same, this is one time we see one correction and Martha takes, man, I am just letting this sink in like medicine. Because, man, I have to remind myself, Martha didn't get 42 different preachers. He didn't get a Bible. She didn't get a Bible to carry. Jesus sat down with her one time, Rebecca, and went, Martha, Martha, she's chose a better thing. You're wrong. You know what? Most of us would have went, you know, I'm glad she just said, you know what? I can take this. It's from God. Man, I don't know. Just take that. That's the message tonight. That's a big part of the message. Let's get the rest of it. Praise God. I know that if you're wondering why 6 months, a year down the road from now, you're still struggling with a personal issue, a character issue, come back to this message right here and just do that simple thing. Change. Let the word change you. Look at this right here. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. I love this. This is what I say when I get this. I do not care. As soon as I seen it, I'm like, all right, we're in the right neighborhood. I love this. This is not the woman who was in sin, who came to the Pharisee's house and walked in and interrupted a big important meeting. This is a friend of Jesus. Mary loves Jesus. And what I love about Mary is she's as consistent as rain. It does not matter if she is in front of Jesus. She is going to do one thing and one thing only. She is going to worship. And I wish, God, I pray that we get to this place, that we would get consistent. We do not care what everybody else thinks. It's God. God made friends with me. He made friends with my sister Martha, my brother Lazarus, and me. And He don't want me to be either one of them. But every time I get around Him, I know who He is. And I can't believe He's my friend. And because He's here, I've got to pour out. I'll worship Him. I'll get at His feet. Listen, the first time, when we go back to that Luke chapter 10, that was one of the first times. Jesus just came to her house to have a meal. She just walks over and gets down at His feet. God, I love You. God, I love You. I'm so glad You're in my house. I love You. God, I love You. God, I love You so much. God, I can't believe God's in our house. I can't believe You made friends with people like us. Man, I love You. How'd You get here? Man, we love You. Don't care. She didn't have a clue. You go back in Luke chapter 10. You go back anywhere. You know what? You can find out this about her. She didn't even know her sister was mad at her. She didn't care. Wouldn't it be so good if you get so enthralled with Jesus, you just don't care what other people think about you? The next time we see her is when Lazarus is dying. And you say, well, she bowed up. She didn't go to Jesus. Well, she didn't go because she knew one thing. If I go over there, I'm just going to end up on my face before God. And I'm mad at Him. I'm mad at Him, so I ain't going to go over there. Because if I go over there, I'll worship Him, and He won't know I'm mad at Him. Ain't that something? But she knew herself, and Jesus knew her too. And Martha came and got her. She said, okay, I'll go see Him. And you go look at it. It's John chapter 11. As soon as she runs into Him, what's she do? Falls at His feet, worshiping Him, saying, God, why weren't You here? But she was still on her face before God because she can't help herself. I wish we'd get a good case of that. I can't help it. You know what I'm saying? If we really understand, a lot of times, especially when God comes in the house and meets with us, who He really is and how insignificant we really are to have for the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings to visit us. And we just, oh, well, I don't want to make a fool of myself. God, we need to be fools for Christ. You know, sometimes we just need to lose it for Christ. We can control ourselves too much. But that ointment was being spilled, and I love this verse 4. Pull this apart, get some more meat on this message right here. Then saith one of His disciples, I love that it points it out who it is. It's Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray Him. There's two or three tales in here right here. There's going to be two tales that for sure that I want y'all to get. Y'all knew that one right there. But this next one, this kind of snuck up on me. I've been reading it a little bit differently, and I've seen it a little bit differently. Okay, so he lodges the complaint. He lodges the complaint against the worshiper. Okay? One, he's lodging a complaint, but he has no answer. He has no fix to the problem because there is no problem. Okay? She's worshiping Him too hard. That's really not a problem. Amen? Oh, man, that church, oh, they're just doing too much for Jesus. They're just too gone for Him. It's really not a problem. Amen? But then Jesus follows it up with, in His word, it's the guy who's going to betray Him. The person with the biggest conflict about a true worshiper was somebody who didn't even believe, would ultimately believe so little that they would rather turn Jesus over than be on His side. And I want you to underline this, and I want you to not underline this, but make a note right here. I want you to think about this. Judas is not some crazy devil worshiper. He is the son of perdition, which means the son of the evil one. But do you know what really, basic Satan or devil worship is? Self-worship. That's all it really is. If the devil can get you to worship yourself, it's a bonus if you'll worship him, but he just wants you to think of yourself before anything else. Judas was just a pragmatic man. Judas was good at numbers, and Judas was just thinking ahead. Judas was just looking. If you really think and study about Judas, he was just looking at it and going, A to B to C. He's headed to Calvary. He's going to die on the cross, and he needs somebody. They need somebody to connect that dot, and I need a way out of this, and I'll need a living, and I'll need a place to stay, and I'll need to be taken care of. So, this is just really makes sense. A, B, I'll be C, and he'll go on to D. But he didn't realize that when you're serving God, there is no A, B, C, D. Sometimes when you're going A, B, C, God will take you to Z and then run you back to A. If you ain't figured that out yet, I hate to tell you. God sometimes don't make any sense, but he's in complete order and in complete control. Let me go ahead a little bit further. But aren't you glad in that verse 4 it just kind of describes who he is? He's doing all the complaining, but he's the one that's going to betray him. Usually the person that has the biggest against somebody who truly loves Jesus, they don't. Whew. Let that sink in. When you're sitting there fighting against somebody all the time about you're doing too much or going too hard or preaching too much or praising too much or trying to reach too many people or you're doing this, listen to the complaint. It almost sounds like you're wasting this for this guy, Jesus, or this guy, God. I want to go ahead and drop this on you. You'll never waste anything for God. You'll never, when you stand before Jesus, you'll never say, man, I wished I'd have held back some more. You'll only say, God, I wished I'd have done some more. I had so many more opportunities that I didn't take than I did take. Verse 5. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Good, good, good. Why wasn't this year's worth of wage given to the poor? Sounds wonderful. Do you know when Judas got up from the Last Supper, when he got up for the Last Supper to go away to betray Jesus, when he got up, all the other apostles were communing with themselves where he went, and they believed that he went to go give that money. He said, he's probably going to get some stuff to help the poor with. You go and read it. It's a fact. Ain't that amazing? He had everybody fooled, but you know who he didn't have fooled? The one who puts in here with me, the one who dips in here with me, is the one who betrays me. The one who kisses me will betray me. You know what? I'm sitting here having dinner, washing his feet, and taking care of him and loving him just like I love everybody else. But I know exactly who you are. You can fool everybody in life, but you can't fool God. And people could think you're the greatest thing on the face of the planet, but if you don't really love Jesus, he'll expose you, and your life will be exposed. And it'd be better to be exposed here than it would be standing before him in judgment. Why was it given to the poor? Man, some things sound real good. Verse 6, then he said, not that he cared for the poor. God, love, ain't you good? Ain't the Bible just, it's awesome. He just flat out tells you, no, he didn't even care about the poor. But because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. That word right there kind of threw me for a loop for many, many years. Bare what was put therein. Do y'all know what that means? It's a simple word. Take. Took. He was taking money out of the treasury. Ho, ho, ho. He was taking from the treasury. He's sitting here watching somebody who's given everything to God. And he's taken. He's taken. Ain't that something? He's taken. Being the most critical about somebody giving. And he's taken. Whew. Man, ain't that something? Man, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, my goodness. Usually, if you're not careful around the spiritual circles of things, the people that criticize you the most about certain things, they're doing them the most. Amen? You might want to write that one down. That'll come back and help you. You've only been doing this for about 18 years. the person that's just wearing you out about something over and over and over. You're like, my goodness, what are you talking about? I had a preacher friend of mine. We picked up several CDs of his to hear him preach. And I swear, every time he got, every CD was the same message. And I went, man, come to find out, that was his biggest struggle. That was his biggest struggle in life. Amen? Ain't that something? It's amazing. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. This verse 7 is one of my favorite ones too. Has the woman said anything? Has Mary said anything? She just keeps on worshiping. Think about it, guys. Think, I don't care what you think, what you said, how you said it, what I should give, what I shouldn't give. What did she know? I know this is how God wants me to worship today. Can I blow y'all up just right here on this word right here too? If we do this right, everything we do for God should be that way. Every song we sing, every message we preach, every time we do something, if we'll talk to God about it, we can stop all the argument about this music and that music, or this preacher or that preacher, or this church or that church. If we would just simply say, God, what would you have me to do? And then do it. And you won't ever have to worry again about, is that the right music? Is that the right song? Is that the right preaching? Is this the right thing? Because you know what? Mary says, I don't know why. She had never done it anywhere else in the Bible. Somebody else had, but she hadn't. I don't know why, but I got that spike nerd in there, and I just feel like God wants me to pour it out. He just wants me to give it to Him. I don't know why. I don't know what's about to happen, but I feel moved to do it. Amen? I feel moved to do this. And she don't care. I said, I don't care if everybody in the room disagrees with it. I don't care if everybody in the room says, man, I hate that song. I hate those words. I hate that thing they're doing. I don't like that. Good, because we're not singing for you. We didn't preach for you. We're not doing this for you. For Him. What if everybody hates a song, but God loves it? What if everybody hates a message, but God loves it? Would it be successful or would it be a failure? Man, that's crazy, ain't it? It's a different kind of thinking. Let her alone. What's Jesus do right here? I can't wait till this happens. Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. You know what he just said? I'm going to the graveyard. And there ain't nobody going to be able to prepare me to go to the graveyard. She's doing it ahead of time. She's meeting a need that I need. Not that you need, that I need. Guys, listen, you need to get singularly focused and hear God and do what God wants you to do and stop worrying about what everybody else is thinking around you. Do it for God. Because you might be bringing about something that nobody even knows about that's one of the greatest things in history. I hope y'all get that. Man, I've preached this so many times from here. I don't care. I don't know if you really get this wrong. But he was on that cross. This spike nerd was so strong, it would have lasted for weeks. He would catch a fragrance as he was being judged, as he was being beaten, as he was being crucified, as he was dying. It would speak to him and say, somebody loved me. Somebody cared when nobody seemed to. When my mind drifted towards Calvary, somebody was loving me. Thank God. When everybody ran, somebody worshiped. Boy, that speaks to me. Because not everybody's going to understand us. Not everybody's going to understand this church. Not everybody's going to understand a whole lot of things. They're not going to understand. But you know what? If we'll get focused on God and do what He has us to do, man, one day, man, praise God, we'll come out smelling pretty sweet on this thing. Amen. Verse 8. I love this part. God's very, very good on the pragmatic part. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. He just called him out. He said, yeah, well, the poor will be here tomorrow too, and see what you do with them tomorrow. the person with the biggest complaint, the person with the others, we could do this, we could do that. Then what if you've had 15 years, 20 years, 30 years? What are you doing? Instead of complaining about somebody who is doing something, go do what you've been doing. Do it. You think this makes the devil mad? Do you think what Mary's doing makes the devil mad? Who cares what the devil thinks? Hey, man, I think we've lived in the church era too long. We're so scared that the devil might attack us that we stop doing anything. We don't realize that God made the devil. He's more powerful. He's stronger than him. And praise God, he knows every attack. He even told every attack that's ever come to every person that's a believer. He could tell you when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, and when you get through, this is going to make you better. Let me go a little bit further. For the poor you have always with you, but me you have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. I love this. This is one of my favorite places in the Bible. I preach it as a nugget every once in a while instead of going through the real context of it. But could you imagine? I mean, all the people are out there looking through the windows at their house, and some of them are trying to get their head peeked in, and they're like, hey, we want to see Jesus. Hey, is Lazarus that? Is that Lazarus too? That dude was, I mean, he had some stinking issues, man. 4 days in the grave. Look at him. He's eating a ham sandwich. Probably not, he's Jewish. He's having them, look at him, he's eating. Man, could you imagine that? This guy's been dead. It was Jewish custom. If you were dead more than 3 days, your body was separated from your soul. If you're dead, you're dead, but that's just the Jewish custom. So he waited till the fourth day where he could come and make sure that they knew that he was dead. And he's sitting there eating with Lazarus. The resurrection, sitting across from somebody who had been resurrected. The resurrection, the event, was sitting right across from somebody who's been a resurrected person. Whew. And some of y'all said, man, that's a good deal. Hallelujah. We're so cool about church and stuff. But I want you to get this. Because he was sitting there eating, because he was filling himself with his full in his belly, is because, guess what? Jesus would go to the cross, die, be put in a grave, and be resurrected. Because if he hadn't have done it, Lazarus would scream at him and say, the law has been broke. Everything had been broken. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, after being in the ground for 3 days, everything was turned upside. What was said in heaven is, I've already been on the cross, I've already been in the grave, and I'm going to be resurrected. Because if I'm not, this right here is heresy. This man sitting here in front of me, that's heresy. Because I've broken. I am the resurrection. I am an event. And there is a resurrection. God, y'all are sitting here looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. I want you to get this. Every time somebody, he said, your sins are forgiven. Every time he said, your sins are forgiven. When he did that, he nailed himself to Calvary's cross. When he saw that woman and said, go sin no more. That, you know what it meant? He said that he was on the cross. Because you can't forgive sin unless there's a sacrifice, and you can't forgive sin that somebody doesn't atone for that sin. You know what he's saying? The atonement is me. The sacrifice is me. And every time I tell you that you are made whole, I am putting myself on Calvary. When he said, Lazarus, come forth, he put himself as a resurrected person and a resurrected place in heaven. Golly, bum, that's big stuff. Verse 11, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews... No, let me go verse 10. I missed it. This is the best part. I almost missed the point that I always say I make a nugget out of it. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. He's the only person in the New Testament that they considered putting Jesus to death and Lazarus because of the resurrection. Ain't that cool? I mean, not Peter, not James, not John, not any of the disciples. That Lazarus... And watch this right here, watch verse 11. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. You know what bothers me, Gary, about this Bible of ours? That Lazarus don't have one speaking part in the whole book. Not one speaking part. This dude has got two sisters who never be quiet. They got big parts in the Bible. This guy's a friend of Jesus. He's always eating with Jesus. Then guess what? He dies. And he's resurrected from the dead. And he don't get a speaking part. He don't even get to say what it was like on the other side. But you know what he does do? He sits at a table, stuffing his mouth with whatever Martha's making. And many of the Jews are believing. And every devil in hell's mad at him. And every religious people that wants, all the people who want to kill and crucify Jesus want to destroy him, not because of anything he says, but just because he's sitting there. Because when you've been dead and you are now alive, what do you got to say? My actions are talking louder than my words. Me sitting here eating, me sitting here in this room, changes everything. Ain't that amazing? Some of y'all don't need a big ministry. All you got to do is have a little bit of a 180-degree change in your life. You won't have to tell a whole lot of people. They'll just be sitting here going, man, he used to cuss, he used to drink, she used to do this, she did that. Now it's totally opposite. They love and they encourage, they try to help, they reach out. Amen? Let's all stand.